One of the things, Benjamin 2 weeks ago spoke about grace. And last week we came back and we saw, how does God relate to man? And we looked at the various covenants, the covenant of redemption, the covenant of works, and then the covenant of grace, and how it all fits in to the big picture. One of the things that grace does is it makes us intensely outward focused. It changes our focus off of me to others. Now that others may be here and it also may be out. So when I say outwardly focused, I'm just talking personally. It allows me to see others during greeting time when normally I wouldn't. What God has done in me. And I want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The first 9 verses. I want to read the first 9 verses. I'm going to talk about a very practical outworking of grace in giving. In giving. Not just materially, but giving of ourselves. So let's take 10 minutes here. I want to open up the scriptures here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in the severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own free will, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. Father, we thank you that though you were rich, yet for our sake you became poor, Father, that we might in our poverty become rich. And we thank you for that giving. Father, as we consider these things, as we consider this season, Lord, as a church, as a congregation that we're in, as well as the season that we are in as families, as individuals, Lord, I pray you would press upon our hearts this grace of giving. Help us. We need your help. Make clear to us, Lord, what is not clear. And thank you. Hallelujah. The point of Paul's writing this is found in verse 7. He says, but as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, I want you to excel in this grace also, and that's giving. I want you to excel in this. And it's as if he's looking at the report card and he says, listen, like in verse 7, he says, I see you've done really good in faith, speech, knowledge, but I really, really want you to score well in this area, in the area of giving. And as an example, he holds up the Macedonian church as an example. He's saying they operated in a certain way. They did some things that I want to draw your attention to. And he holds them up as an example. And he says in verse 5 that they gave themselves first to the Lord. They gave themselves first to the Lord. So whether we're talking about giving, we're talking about volunteering, we're talking about schedules and expectations and what's my part, it has to begin with us having given ourselves to the Lord. We have to be His. Now, in a very fundamental way, we have to be Christians. We have to be born again. We have to be part of His kingdom. But in a sense, we have to continually put ourselves in the offering plate, so to speak. So when the buckets come by, we literally are ourselves in there. Like, I'm in, I've given myself to you. It's not just whatever I have here, I can give you a little, and then go out the door. We're literally, because the Macedonians had put themselves in the offering plate, everything else kind of came with it. It was a natural extension of their lives. So he's saying, listen, there's a grace at work among you. So when we talk about grace, you want to know what it is practically? Here's a very practical outworking of it. What's it look like? And he says, the Macedonians, here's some things they did. They first gave themselves to the Lord. They put themselves in. It's foundational importance. In verse 1, he says, I want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that's been given among the churches. And so they gave themselves to the Lord. They also gave in response to the grace of God. That's verse 1. Because John 3:16, Paul's saying that God is the first giver. He's the first one that gave. So God so loved the world that he gave his son. And then verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. See, so they gave themselves to the Lord. That's a challenge for us in these seasons, to give ourselves to him fully. But they also then gave tangibly as the beginning, seeing the grace of God, that God was the first giver. If God's nature is not giving, then why am I doing it? But they're saying, oh, we see him as the first and ultimate giver. How could we not be? It compels us to be. So they saw the generosity of God. It produced a gladness in them, a gratitude in them, and then it led to a joy. Overflowing joy is what it says. So the line runs, gratitude. They saw God's generosity, led to gratitude, and then an overflowing of giving. Because the starting point of all giving is not the needs of the world. It's not even the particular needs of this place, of City View. It begins and ends with the Father. It begins and ends with God. All of our giving. So I almost say that every week when we go to giving. It all begins and ends with you. It has to. If we continue to look down, there. I don't want us to miss, too, the Macedonians, when they give, they didn't let two things hinder them. And I believe we'll find those in verse 2. Severe affliction in extreme poverty. Say what? Say, well, no, Paul held up the Macedonian churches because they had tons of money, because everything was going really nice for them, right? No, not at all. They were in extreme affliction in poverty, severe affliction. So the giving had to come and begin and end with God. Verse 3. They gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own free will. So they gave themselves to the Lord. They gave in response to his grace, and they gave beyond their means. So what that means is they all got their credit cards out, and they gave. They gave beyond their means. They went wildly into debt to give. No. Don't look. I'm joking. I'm joking at that. That was a joke. And no, that's not what they did. They didn't get their credit cards out to give beyond their means. Well, I have this, but I could do this, and that's beyond my means, right? Because that's scriptural. No, that's not what he's saying. I think he's saying they're willing to give up legitimate needs to meet legitimate needs. They're willing to give up their legitimate needs, the legitimate wants of themselves, to meet needs. So it's a choice. They gave, what does he say in verse 3? Beyond their means of their own free will. You know what? I'd like this, the Macedonians would say, but I'm not, because there's a need over here. That's giving beyond, according and beyond. Jesus stands there, is watching people give into the treasury, and he says, well, They gave out of their wealth. She gave all she had. That's what he's talking about. He's holding up these Macedonians saying, this is a good thing. Don't miss the principles that are operating out of here. And then in what I just read in verse 3 and 4, that they gave of their own free will. They didn't give, they give unprompted. They weren't under a big sales pitch. They weren't under manipulation to give. It was entirely on their own, he says. Nobody was telling them what to do. The need was presented, and it was of their own free will. We have been twice, beginning of June, end of June, have been attending meetings with, we've been looking into a family of churches called New Frontiers. If you haven't, I'd encourage you to go out to the website, newfrontier.org. There is a USA website, but it's a worldwide family of churches on mission together. And we've been in two corporate meetings with them, and they're very much into giving. I mean, these people, they celebrate giving. I was humbled and very challenged by what I saw. When we were in Missouri, they had a night where they just had prayer. They just started singing and dancing and giving money. And in that one offering, what was it? $95,000 they gave towards the apostolic work, that the word of God would go to the nations. Just gave out of what? Maybe 800 people. $95,000 in offering. Now, when we were out in, we were up in New Hampshire, they did a similar thing. They took an offering up, and there was maybe 150, 180. I don't think it was 200 people. And they said, hey, we just, you know, praise God, $35,000. But it's a, hey, this is great. He's got to do. It's got to happen, and I'm going to adjust lifestyles. I'm going to give. That kind of thing we want to be a part of. Like, that's exciting. There's something different. You think differently than I do. And I need to be around that. There's a motivating thing inside of you that it's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. The vision is big, and they've responded. And so now, every time I mention New Frontiers, don't start twitching and saying, oh gosh, this is going to be all about offerings. No. Just let the grace of God just permeate you, and it will happen. So they gave of their own free will. Now, Paul also gives us, if you flip to the left in 1 Corinthians 16, just put your finger in there and we'll turn 1 Corinthians 16 for a second. I want to read the second verse. Paul does give a pattern for giving, though. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I've talked about this before, he says, on the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there may be no collecting when I come. And so when I arrive, I will send those to get a letter to make sure we've got it all and so forth. So he says, he gives, really, in that verse, he gives a pattern for that. It's regular giving, in proportionate giving. And some of your translations say according to your income. Set it aside on the first day. At that point, the first day of the week was Sunday. That's when they met. Had been set aside for worship. And in part of that worship was giving, regular giving. And then proportionate giving. In keeping with your income, some of your verses say in verse 2 of chapter 16. They gave themselves first to the Lord. They gave in response to the grace of God. Of their own free will. Regular, proportionate giving. And then in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, this is some of what we've experienced just recently. It blows our mind. Then in verse 4, Paul says, they're begging us earnestly. They're begging us. They're urgently pleading with us for the favor of taking part in relief of the saints. I haven't received a phone call like that lately, but Paul's like, listen, they're eagerly pleading, urgently pleading to give, to relief, to help others, to meet needs. They're pleading, they're begging to help. And by giving what they were supplied, it resulted in thankfulness to God. Second Corinthians 9:12, just look over. He said, "For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God." So not only was it meeting needs, but it was overflowing in thankfulness. There was a joy that came from their giving. And this is very God-centered. So as we talk about grace, we talk about the grandness of the mission of God, even for our part at City View. You receive a phone call. Somebody says, "Hey, I'd like you to pray about helping or something." Consider it. Say, my giving, my part. And I have no doubt, over the years, we've gone through some very difficult financial times as a church. God has been faithful. He's done his work. But we're in this together. And the grace of God extends itself in giving. And I frankly wonder sometimes, where the heck are we as a church? We're kind of like down. Do you ever feel that coming in? Can I be honest about it? And sometimes I feel down. Some days I walk in, it's like, I don't really want to be here. You know, in the flesh, is that okay to say? I know none of you feel that way. Praise God. Once in a while. We look at prayer, with 2 or 3, 4 people coming. That's not God's best for us. It's not manipulation to have you come. Because we can all draw together and be as dead and the presence of God isn't here. That's not the point. It's just allowing the grace of God to change us. The image of you. We're singing more of you, Jesus. To say, God, you've got to convince me that this is true. Because by my actions, in my posture, I don't believe it. Say, no. The grace of God coming. Say, praise God, I'm in. The mission is great. What God has done is tremendous. And he leads us into it then. Praise God. Is that okay? This isn't a time just to sit back and say, it's summertime, let's coast and let's head. No, we're pressing on. We're moving on. As a church, it's a very exciting, very strategic time for us. And for some of you, I know you're called to it. Don't let it pass you by. Let's get in together. You need help? You need to talk to somebody? Your marriage struggling? Let's get it. Let's get in together. Let's do it. Let's get past this. Let's let the grace of God come and together and do this. You out there alone? You're not in the life group? I'd ask, What? Come on. Going to start some life groups. We have Rob Shank coming in November. John Shue will be sharing in a couple weeks. We have Ivan Tate coming. We have Ian Ashby and Sam Poe will be coming from New Frontiers in November to just spend some time with us. So we've got some very exciting times coming. But we don't live just for these events and these meetings. Life happens in between. The power of God in our congregation, it's not just having good meetings every couple months. God has so much for us. But we almost feel sometimes that it has to come from the outside. It comes from the inside, from us. It's like, well, you know, eventually some. No. It's us. It's God gripping DJ's heart, my heart, Benjamin's heart, and Zoe, and we become alive in the grace of God. And all of a sudden, there's a surge among us. It comes from within. Praise God. Let's stand. Where does a message like this come from? Oh, he must be worried about the money. Well, what are we, 11,000 behind budget? Am I allowed to say that? 11,000. Yeah, I watch that. You ever look at your budget? Yeah. 11,000. We will not finish this year behind. The grace of God, we're not going to do it. And I look at this and say, we can do better than this. I mean, that's not pressure, I hope. I hope I'm not But like, are we in this or not? Like, praise God. You better come up and play or something. It's getting hot or something. I'm starting to sweat, Sarah. He just has better for us than we're settling for. Do you know it? Amen. Can I just say that? Amen. For me, I know that. I know that for me. Christy tells me that regularly. I have a wonderful wife who's very direct. Come on. Yes, God, do it in me. Come on, because we got a mission to do here in York. He's not done with City View. Some of you may think he is. Some have left and think he is. Not in your life. So I'm in. Hallelujah.